The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what, did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him. Inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Christ is alive. Don Francisco, thank you for joining me for a very special Resurrection Sunday webcast. Glad that you can join me, hang out a little bit, spend some time with PJ as I spin a little music for the records, as well as present to you, I think in a very unique way, a portion of the message that I'll be preaching, Lord willing, on this Sunday morning and the Anselm Bible Fellowship. Thought that I'd bring it to you in webcast fashion because it's kind of nice. One of my favorite albums, Forgiven, Don Francisco. It's an old number. 1977 was when the record was made, and it was on the New Pax record label. Wow. Recorded in Nashville, Tennessee. They used real violins in. It's kind of nice. Kind of nice. What it is that the death of Christ produces in the church today. I think that we're going to start right there. And we'll be hearing more music all throughout this portion of the webcast. I just thought that I'd do this because I think we need to talk about this a little bit. Well, you can see the outline. It's right there on my website. Denial, discipline, and duty. That's what God demands of us. He wants us to deny ourselves, to be disciplined, and then to follow him every day of our lives. Sacrificially living our lives for him. This is what our biblical Christianity is all about. We can't get away from that. Matter of fact, we don't want to get away from it. We as believers, we recognize that. Now, you have your Bibles open in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. We're going to spend a little time looking at this. And like I said, I'll be spinning a little music through this. Just want you to settle down and enjoy the Bible study with me, because I think that's what we need these days, is just flat out Bible study, more Bible. In Mark chapter 8, verse 27, that's where we want to start. And it says, "And Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they said to him, saying, 'John the Baptist. The others say, Elijah. But others, one of the prophets.' And he continued by questioning them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said to him, 'Thou art the Christ.' And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." That's what Don Francisco just got through singing about. "And he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing the disciples," see, Jesus turns from Peter. You know, I love this portion of Scripture because Jesus is so real about it. He says, you know what, I don't want to be dealing with somebody that's thinking seeker-sensitive, user-friendly foolishness. He immediately turns to the other disciples, and he rebukes Peter. In other words, he turns from facing Peter, turns to face the other disciples, and flat out rebukes the Apostle Peter. And he says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." My goodness, isn't that exactly where the church is today? That's why the church is so thoroughly messed up. "And he summoned the multitude of his disciples with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. For what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange of his soul?' And verse 38 says, 'For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the angels.'" I believe that we should recognize that this special time of the year is very, very unique. But we have to look at it as unique, not in our churches, because our churches have followed, I think, what has become traditional Christianity and left off what true Christianity is. In black churches, you have pastors coming in on Good Friday, so-called, giving the last seven words from the cross. And you know how it is. Everybody's going shopping to get their Easter baskets, their flowers, their hats, new pair of shoes that they don't need, buying the Sunday dinners. I went by Pavilions today, which is a major supermarket branch, just to get some green beans and a couple of items for dinner tonight. And the place was packed. Everybody was in there. But you see, we're thinking about family and friends and all that other stuff, but not really focusing upon Christ, what his life and his death and his resurrection was really all about. I'd like to take it a step further. Would it be appropriate to say that we should ask this question about his horrible death? What has that death, that one lone death, that death of Christ on Calvary produced within the church today? Or was that death supposed to produce anything in the church today? Can we really say that? Well, I believe that the first thing, and we see it in verse 34a, it produces denial. For Jesus says, if a man follow me, let him deny himself. Now, this denial of the self undertakes the idea of forgetting you, ignoring you, disowning you. See, it's not about me. It's about Christ. And I have as a reference here, and you can see it right there. You should already be there. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. For those of you that are Bible teachers, teaching a Bible lesson is just reading or outlining, giving some emphasis to it. It's very easy to do that. I had a pastor call me from Ohio, and he was asking me about radio. And I said, man, the days of Christian radio broadcasting is over, because you can't tell the truth. You can't tell those heathens they're on their way to hell. You can't talk about Muslims. I said, you can do it on the web, on a webcast. You can do it on your website. You can do it on the World Wide Web. They haven't taken control of that yet. But look what the Bible says in Romans 15 and 1. It says, now, we who are strong are to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. You see, if any man follow me, Jesus said, let him deny himself. Here it is, Easter Eve in my home. I could be watching movies like I usually do. I usually watch the Ten Commandments or Ben-Hur or one of those movies like that and have a bunch of food set up and enjoy myself. But no, the Lord put on my heart, do a webcast. See, I have to deny myself. Those of us that are strong spiritually, persons like myself, on the way to be a full-blown Christian, full growth, you have to deny yourself, just like I have to. Jesus puts forth the idea that his death was a guarantee that all of us lose sight of ourselves, not just some of us, not just the PJs in this world, but the DJs, you guys, the ABs and the CDs and the EFGs. See, that we do not carry the worldly way of taking interest in oneself. And there is a worldly way of doing that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 speaks about that. He says, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And so we see this. We see this constancy in being delivered, not just delivered on Sunday. Our brother called me and he says, Pastor, are y'all meeting Easter at the same place? And I said, yes. And he said, I'll see you there. Why haven't I seen him for 5 weeks? It's ridiculous. Happens all the time. See, my friend, this constitutes a unique death to self. Are you dead yet? Drop dead. Deny yourself. It's not about you. It's not about you moms cooking that Easter dinner and everybody's coming by there and it had better be perfect. See, that's about you. That's selfish. You haven't invited anybody to eat anything. I'm invited out. And I'm telling you, I'm not bringing any food and I'm going with a hefty appetite. Of course, I'll be there and I'll be there meeting people as I usually love to do.